Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning. Hey, the music just want to keep going. How are you this morning? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, and we are here at the roundtable. Another beautiful Saturday morning. Thank God we are up and we're moving around. You know, think about it. Could have been gone, or you could have been hospital, and, you know, so many different things. Or even if you're in the hospital, you still could have been gone. God is still with you. He's still listening to you. He's still blessing us. You know, sometimes we don't understand how and why we're going through the way that we're going through, but we have to trust God and know that there's no one else to trust. I mean, who are you going to trust? I mean, you have to trust God. You have to trust the person that created you. The person that creates you know all about you, everything about you. Know how to fix everything, know every thought, every word, every movement. So who else can you trust but the Creator? And Father God, we just want to thank you this morning. Thank you for loving us in spite of our mistakes, loving us unconditionally, allowing us to make choices, allowing us to experience life as we choose it, sometimes and not the way that you've chosen it. But even at that, you will take us back regardless of what we do, as long as we repent and come back and honestly mean in our heart that we're sorry, we're forgiven and it's forgotten, and we move on. That's the way you do it. Father God, we just pray that we will be more and more like you. Be quick to forgive, quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to move on. Father, I ask you this morning to touch every heart of a mother and daughter team out there. Let them know that you created them for a reason. And the relationship that they have is determined by the words that they speak. Because those words will create a thought, and those thoughts will create a vision on their mind's eye, and all of a sudden, they're living in that reality. Teach us to choose our words carefully. Think about them before we say them. Because once they're gone, you cannot take it back. You can't change it. And it will have the effect of the intent in which you meant when you sent it. So, Father God, I ask you to bless each mother and daughter team, that we come together, unite, building a strong force for the entire family, which will reproduce through the generation. And we thank you for Jesus and the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us back to you. Thank you, Father. We love you. Amen. It's the one thing that I can honestly say this morning is that we did not create ourselves. And if you're with me, you know that. We did not create ourselves. If we did, we would do what we think a better job. Oh, I wouldn't have this nose. I would have this leg. I would have this body size. I would have this car, this house, or we just create something and we would create a mess because we don't know the entire plan. God's plan for what? His kingdom. We would just only know very little about our own selves because half the times we don't know what we're doing ourselves. We just do it, and then when we get the experience, we go, wow, something told me not to do that. Or I knew I shouldn't have done that. Or I shouldn't have said that. Why did I say that? Because things can come out of our mouths that when we look back at it, you regret saying it. That's why we have to be slow when it comes to speaking words, because words are so, so, so powerful. And you know that's what we're about here. We're about talking about your words and creating that best mother and daughter relationship that you possibly can have. It all comes out of words. Whatever relationship you want with your daughter, you can create it by simply saying it. That's how powerful words are. That's how powerful your tongue is. You can just say it. And if you say it long enough, it'll change your mind. Your mind will transform. Then it'll just melt your heart. And all of a sudden, you just renewed. The same thing you do when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You confess it with your mouth by saying the word. And then you believe it in your heart. And therefore, you're saved. It's just that simple. And it's just that simple with any relationship, especially your daughter. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. I don't want to get ahead of myself. For the newcomers that are coming on, I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, and we're at the round table. Sit back, relax, get a pen, piece of paper, get your favorite drink, and just chill out and listen. And I'm sure the Lord is going to speak to you. And it doesn't have to be through me. That's what I like about this. It's just a conversation. And the conversation means what? You got to be an interaction between two or more parties. I mean, I can deliver the message, but the conversation begins when I go to the switchboard and I click the switchboard on and you decide you want to share your thoughts. Then you enter into the conversation. We got a dialogue going, and then the audience is listening. So just picture yourself around a round table. You're sitting there, and you click one on your phone, and you have an opportunity to participate and share. Keep in mind, I know a lot of people are fearful about talking on the radio. Nobody can see you, and nobody's there, and you're just talking directly to me. Even though we have people out there listening, you're just talking to me. So think about that. And share your thoughts, because your thoughts can be the healing thoughts, the words that can change the mind, the thoughts of another mother or daughter, which will melt their heart and move them closer to their best mother and daughter relationship. I'm just a facilitator. It takes all of us to make it happen. And I thank you this morning for coming on and listening and taking time out of your busy schedule, because it is Saturday morning, and I know a lot of you work on Saturdays and during the week. Some people working on Saturdays, because I have some people listening while they are doing other things. They put the earplugs in and they listen to the show. And I thank you for that. You know, you're on your job and you're listening to me. What an honor. And I thank you. And so sometimes people say to me, you know, I can't talk, but I can listen. I'm listening to you. So, you know, do what you have to do, but you get the information. If you want to text, you can text your friends, because if you're on the phone, you call 347-539-5078. Text your friend. Email them. Tell them to call in to listen to the show. And then you want to participate, just click one. Our stimulating topic this morning is, why did God create mothers and daughters? You know, you ever ask yourself that? Why did God create a mother and a daughter? What was the purpose for it? Did he just accidentally say, you know what, I'm just going to create a mother and a daughter? Now, if God is a man, you know, and you think about it, why would he create a mother and daughter? Why didn't he just create fathers and sons? But if God is a woman, think about it. Recreate after your own kind. Why would God create a mother and daughter? And as I go through today, just giving you some thoughts on that topic, I want you to think about some things and write them down. Why did God create it, mother and daughter? He didn't accidentally do it. So there was a purpose. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Bessie. We're going to get into that topic today. Well, it's cruise time, cruise time, cruise time. November the 17th. I can't wait. I need a vacation. So we are going to Turks and Caicos. I think it is that. I'm going to make sure I get that right. And the Bahamas, coming back through, I think, Key West. If you would like to go, you still have time to get on. And you can call Gina at 813-868-0007, 813-868-0007. Give her a call if you want to join us for the cruise, leaving November the 17th, coming back, I think, on the 23rd. If you have any questions you want to ask me, you can email me at drbessie1, that's drbessie, the number 1, at gmail.com. And I'll be more than happy to email you back. Our stimulating topic this morning is, why did God create mothers and daughters? I even, as I was writing this morning, I was thinking too, wow, okay. Because I don't create this stuff. God creates it. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. So as I'm listening and writing down just the notes from it, from the thoughts and the conversation we're having, I'm thinking too, because keep in mind that I'm being educated as well, and I'm thinking, why did he? We can come up with different scenarios, but really, why did he create mothers and daughters? I want you to think about that, and I really, really want you to think about participating today. If you just give a short scenario on your thoughts of why you think that God created a mother and a daughter. My co-host today will be Cynthia Oliver, Janice Paldo. Sandra D is not with us today. We miss Sandra. Sandra is working on Saturday mornings, and, we know how that is. We have to do what we have to do when we're a mother, single mom. If you have to work on Saturday, Sunday, you're doing what you have to do at the moment. So we'd like to have another person join us at the round table. I think I have a couple ideas of people that I'm going to ask, and hopefully next week we have some other co-hosts that will join us just to make the conversation a little broader in the thought, so that we can reach more people. This whole season from January has been a wake-up call for mothers. We're still inside of that conversation, a wake-up call. Everything that we're doing and talking about is to wake you up. Most of us are sleeping in some areas or the other. And to wake up means that you get some new information that stimulates a thought that creates an awareness that creates a new reality. And all that comes from your words, because your words will create your future. Whatever you say today is what you're going to live out of next week. That's why I'm working really, really hard to say the right word, create the right frame of mind, because I want to walk into that. Right now, I'm walking out of some things that I've said last year, last week. And I just want to get through it. In order for me to get through it, I got to change what I'm saying in order to have a different result next week, next month, next year. But if you keep saying the same thing today that you were saying last week, last month, and last year, you're just preparing to have the same results next week, next month, and next year. Think about that. You're never going to walk out of Egypt if you're still murmuring and complaining. You're just going to go round and round in a circle, and you're never going to get out. And then you wonder why God is not helping you. God cannot help you
when you choose words that are not his. Only his words will walk you out of Egypt. So you got to change what you say in order to walk out. Otherwise, think about it. Look at your life. Look at your mother and daughter relationship. Does it look, feel, taste, smell like it did last year? It's so close that it seems like it's the same type of relationship. It seems like you're just not going anywhere. You can't get out of this relationship. It's not what you want in your heart, because no mother wants to be estranged from her daughter. No mother. I don't care what it is. Even a mother on drugs and heavily addicted, her desire is to get off the drugs so she can be with her children. And that's a fight, because that's a chemical fight. You know, and it takes words. Words will walk you out of anything. Words will walk you out of any situation that you're in. The only thing I think that hinders most people is that if they don't see immediate results, if they talk to God today, they're looking for God to do it by tomorrow. But you have to think about it. You got to walk out of it. You got to keep saying it. You got to prepare. Just think of it like, and this just came up into my spirit. Think of it like a bridge. And you're walking on this bridge. And this bridge is not connected to anything. You got to use your words to lay the foundation to keep walking. And if you don't use the right words, you're not building the bridge. You're stuck. But the right words, God's word, if you say what he said about you, then you're going to build a bridge and you're going to keep walking, because the foundation is going to be laid before you. And you'll always have that pathway to keep walking. But if you use your words, negative words, poor, pitiful me, my daughter don't like me, my mother don't like me, then that's where we are, stuck. Stuck. Why did God create mothers and daughters? Now, last week we talked about you didn't choose your mother or daughter. And that brings us into our conversation today. Because if you didn't choose your mother and daughter, you know, simply all you got to do is say, well, if I didn't choose my mother or daughter, then who did? Not a rocket scientist, it's the creator. I call him God. So if God created you, he created you for a purpose. You just don't design and prepare something for nothing. Think about that. You're going to create a mother and daughter team, and you have no intention. No intent, no design, no vision, just created them. Can you imagine? Would God do that to you and your daughter? He just created you guys for no reason, just didn't have anything to do. So I'm just going to create a mother, and let me see if I can create somebody in her image that would look just like her and act just like her and, you know, be shaped just like her and attitude just like her. Let me see. But I don't have a purpose for them. I'm just going to do it just to see what that looks like. Why did God create mother and daughter? Now, last week we talked about you cannot choose your family. That's a given. God is the mastermind behind that, because he knows exactly where you're going. He knows his plans for you and how you fit into his vision for his kingdom. Now, on the other hand, I was saying that we could choose our friends, and then we could choose not to have someone as our friend. That's a personal choice. But you cannot choose your family, and you cannot choose, I will not have her as my family. Now, I've seen this on television, and I've heard it not only on television, I've heard in counseling, mother's saying, you know, I'm done with her. I'm finished. That girl is driving me insane. You know, I got better things to do. I don't care what she does. And I know that's idle talk. Because if someone called you and said that your daughter had cancer or that she was in the hospital, she was in a bad accident, all of a sudden that love meter will just kick in. That mother love, that nurturing spirit. And before you know it, you're standing beside that bed. Why did God create mothers and daughters? You didn't choose your daughter. And your daughter didn't choose you. Now, we talked a little bit last week, and I said, you know, just imagine God and Jesus sitting there, and they are watching you. You know, you have a stage, and you have a play, and it's starring you and your daughter. Just imagine God is watching you, and Jesus is sitting there, and they're having a conversation. And he's hearing what you're saying about your daughter, and he's hearing what the daughter's saying about the mother. And he looks at Jesus, and he says, can you believe that? That they're using those words? Did I say that? Of course, Jesus is saying, no, that's not what I told him you said, Father. Why did God create mothers and daughters? Mothers and daughters was created to reproduce. A woman has inside of her a nurturing bed that was prepared to receive a human seed, to hold it, to nurture it, to love it. Until harvest time. Now God determines the outcome of the seed because he knows what his plans are for his kingdom. He has a plan, trust me. We may not know where we're going and coming and what the next minute is and the next day, but God knows because he created it. Now you think about it. This is his real big play, and we're just participants of it. So he knows how many mothers and daughters he wants to create for the stage play, and he knows how many mothers and sons. And sometimes you wonder why a woman would have all sons and no daughters, or a woman would have all daughters and no sons. It's by design, not an accident. Notice I said mother and daughter, mother and son. No matter what the seed kind is, it's going to be harvested from a mother. Now that we know. Now I don't know what it feels like to have a son, because I only have one daughter. So I don't have the experience of having a mother-son relationship. Just like a woman that have all boys, she does not know what it feels like to have a mother-daughter relationship from her own birth. But think about it. Every woman is a daughter. Every woman has a mother-daughter experience. Every woman has a mother and daughter experience. You may not know what it feels like to have that experience with mother son, but you will know what it feels like to have that experience with mothers and daughters. So why did God create mothers and daughters? Because mother is the common denominator of all recreation. Now, like many of you that doesn't have sons, like myself, I kept my grandsons every summer from the time they were very, very small. And that gave me an idea, which was very different in the beginning, because my daughter was very laid back. You know, a little girl, she was prissy, and she tended to herself, and she was just a little lady from day one. She never was a crier. She's just always sort of, but like I was, as the mother, so is her daughter. Sort of an old spirit. But I got to feel and taste the flavor of a mother-son relationship through my grandson. You know, I keep them. I would keep them 8 weeks out of the summer. So, you know, and then I'm always there back and forth and talk to them every day like I do with my daughter. Either in the car there listening while I'm talking to my daughter. It's a conversation every day. So I got a good taste of what that feels like, but I really don't know what it is to carry a son. What does that feel like? But when I think about why God created mother and daughter, I thought about the bed in which the human seed is planted. And for 9 months, the mother has an opportunity to make or break the personality of that seed. And it all comes from the words that she used during that 9 month period of time. I remember I had a girlfriend. She's not with us anymore. And for 13 years, her husband, she lived in a domestic violence environment. I'll leave it like that. And I'm talking about serious domestic violence. And she would call me and tell me, and I'd get so angry. And I would tell her, you don't have to take that. Why are you doing that? I mean, you have a good job. Back in the day, she was making $40,000, $50,000 a year. This is in the 80s. That was a good salary. It's a good salary now. Why? But she could not get up out of that situation. Now, why am I telling you about a domestic violence situation? Because she became pregnant. And in the midst of the domestic violence, she was 8.5 months pregnant. And her husband, I mean, he just come in, and if something didn't go wrong, that was my opinion. If something didn't go right while he was outside doing whatever he was doing, he'd come in and take it out on her. And she was home all the time, cooking and, you know, just conditioned by fear. Trying to do all the right things so he would not get angry when he walked through the door. But being 8 months pregnant, she was fussing and fighting with him all during the pregnancy. 8.5 months, he came in angry, knocked her down flat on her back. All of that anger. And when that baby was born, I'm telling you, that little baby had anger. I mean, she was fighting from the time she came out. I mean, when she was a little baby, she'd just grab at you and want to scratch you. I mean, all that anger. And even after her mother died, she was still an angry young girl. And one night her father said, you are not, she was a little teenager, you are not leaving this house tonight, you are not going out. He said, if you go out, you're going over my dead body. She took a cast iron frying pan and knocked him out. You see, that's, and we look and you say, well, why in the world? Because that's all she knew. She was prepped for 9 months with angry words, angry thoughts, fighting and cursing. I can't speak for her today because I haven't spoken to her in a while. But her life went south. She was doing things that her other sister was not doing. And everybody said, why can't you be more like your sister? Well, her sister didn't go through all of that. Her sister didn't have to fight all those demons while she was inside of the harvesting nest of her mother's belly. That's why it's so important, young mothers, that you watch what you say. You watch what you eat. You watch what you do. You watch what you think, especially when you're carrying a seed to reproduce after its own kind. Because God says what? As is the mother, so is her daughter. So you think about that. When you're carrying that child, for 9 months. As you are, so will she be. She will be who you are in that 9 months period of time. That will determine her personality. On the other hand, there's a young couple that I know, and I watched them. The 9 months she was pregnant, they were talking to the baby. The father was rubbing the baby, rubbing the mother's stomach and talking to the baby. And just, I mean, it was, I looked at him, I said, wow, this is going to be a peaceful baby. He just loved and doted on her, and she just loved it. They talked to the baby, and I was like, I wish you could see that baby now. That baby is in such peace. When she looks at you, it's like she's looking through you. It's just amazing peace and the serenity and the spirit that comes out of that little baby. She's 9 months old. And when she looks at you, it's just like, wow. She could have had a different personality. She could have had a different attitude to life. But as is the mother, so is her daughter. So I'm challenging you, mothers, young mothers. If you're pregnant, think about that. If you have a small child, if you have an adult child, start preparing a different path ahead of you. It may not change today, but it will change if you say it's going to change. Remember, your words are very valuable. And remember, it's what you say that will create your future. So if you want to travel a different path, a different type of road, right now you might be on some gravel. It might be a little rough, you know, you know, just think about walking on gravel or hot coals with no shoes on. You know, ooh, ouch, that hurts. Lord, help me get through this. But you want that paved, smooth road ahead of you? You got to use paved, smooth words. God says all things are possible for those who believe. Ye shall have what ye say. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will open. Seek and you shall find. Whatever you want, you can have the desires of your heart. Speak to the mountain and tell the mountain to move and it shall move. Use those words. Use God's word. Say what he said. Jesus said, I only say what the Father said. He could do no miracles on his own. He waited. He listened. And he said what the Father said, and miracles happened. You want a miracle? Use the word. Use God's word. And the miracles will follow. Just like Jesus' mother said, whatever he says at the wedding, she said, whatever he says, just do it. And miracles will follow. What did I just say? The mother of Jesus said to them, they needed wine. The wine was gone, but she said to them, whatever he said, just do it. Don't question it. You don't have to understand it. Whatever he says, just do it, and miracles will follow. So it still works today. Whatever he says, just do it, and miracles will follow. You say what Jesus said. Jesus said, I say what the Father said. Miracles will follow. That's the power that you have in the words that you speak. So whatever you say, remember that your words going to create your thoughts, and your thoughts going to create your vision, and your visions will manifest into reality. And if you don't like where you are today, you simply change what you say. It's just that easy. God will not give you a difficult task. He will not give you something that you could not do. He said, I give you the words. Use my words and eat the good of the land. Thank you for listening. I'm going to open this up. Go to the switchboard. All right, let's see. Anybody want to join in on the conversation? Just click one. Good morning, 1798. How are you this morning?
Oh, good morning.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. I didn't know I was here. I'm fine, thank you. I have a question. First of all, I just want to thank you so much for the information, because not only did it apply to mother and daughter, I used some of the information for myself at the end, basically. But the question I have a set of twins that are going through. They're both angry. And so I do agree with you that it affects them in the womb. So now the children are out. What do we do? How do we correct that? That they're out now and they're angry. Both of them have the same energy, that they're just angry. And so now I'm trying, how do you correct that?
How old are they? Boys or girls?
They're boys, but they're three and a half. And you could tell that, I mean, just by the way you described everything, that's where it happened, the anger, some of it. I can't say all of it, but most of it, I believe that it could come from, like what you said, from the womb. So we're trying to figure out
how was your relationship when you... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Say that again.
No, I was saying, how was your relationship when you were carrying them? What was your mental status?
No, I didn't carry them. I'm speaking in behalf of someone else. I'm a teacher, a preschool teacher. And these two little boys are in my, they separate them. I think that would be one of the problems. But the other thing is just trying to concentrate on what you were saying about the wound. And, all of the effect, the negative things that could have gone, because both of them, they're angry. I'm trying to figure out, how do you correct that, even if I give the mother information?
Well, basically, it comes with an assessment.
Okay.
I can tell you, when I worked in the school system, I had a young girl that was 5 years old. I'm going to use this as an example just so that we can get a picture.
Okay.
She was 5 years old. She was angry. She was fighting every day. She was biting kids. She was in the principal's office every day, not one day, every day.
Okay.
And so I was sent to do counseling with her.
Okay.
And, of course, I had to establish the groundwork. I let her know, hey, this is not, whatever you're doing at home is not going to happen while we are here in counseling. So I set my groundwork so she would understand where I was coming from.
Okay.
But as I did the assessment and the anger, it was coming from, and I'm going to make a long story short, it was coming from the fact that she wanted to see her father, and the mother was determined she was not going to let her see the father.
Okay.
And so when she heard anything about someone saying something about, oh, me and my dad, we went to the movies, or my dad and I was playing ball, or something like that, it would trigger something in her mind about not being able to see her father, and so anger came up, and she would take it out on that particular kid.
Oh,
and it didn't take me but 2 weeks to figure that out. So when I asked her, I said, where's your father? She said, my father's in Pompano. Well, at the time, we wasn't about maybe 5 miles from Pompano. I said, well, because I thought she was going to say New York, Chicago,
Right.
And so I said, I got to see the mother. So when I got to the mother, she was so angry. She said, oh, no, I will not drive anywhere to take her to see him, and that's not happening. I said, but Papa knows just 5 miles. I said, well, let me facilitate it. Let me take her to her father. The father wanted to see her. See, it could be something just that simple, but it's not simple to kids. You know what I mean? Kids are being used as pawns, and so that anger – they hear the conversations. They hear what mama's saying on the phone. They hear how she's either angry at somebody else. And that's mm-hmm. what they're only babies. They can only get what they hear. They pick
that's
it up
right.
from that.
Okay. Well, one of the things I thought too maybe that they was angry because they separated them. You know, they had been together for so long, even though they still have that anger inside of them, but then you put some more on top of them, too.
Right. If you separate them, it's going to make it worse.
That's what I'm saying, right.
It's going to,
right.
It's going to make it worse because now they feel like the school is against them. You need
okay.
to check into their home life because some they feel like they're by themselves and nobody's there for them. They got to know that there's a safe haven somewhere. Somebody is there.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm telling you, after 3 weeks of working with that young lady, the school, the principal wanted to give me an office. Can we hire you to come? No, that's not what I do. I'm not coming to the school system to see you every day. But, you know, and I'm going to tell you how little kids are. I only give 12-week sessions. Well, I'm about the sixth or seventh week.
Okay.
You know, we were just then socializing. And when I told her, I said, okay, you're good now. You understand. Now, we're going to end our sessions. Do you know the next week I got there, she hit someone because she really didn't want me to leave. And I had to sit her down and say, you know what? I'm still going to leave, and you are not going to do what you just did. You did that just so that I would stay.
Yes.
And I asked her, did you? She said, yes. I said, but I'm not going
wow.
anywhere. I gave her my phone number. I'm here for you. You can call me anytime. And she continued to do better and is doing great now.
Oh, good.
So they have to know that somebody is there, the third
yeah.
wheel. Just like with
okay.
my grandsons. I tell them, I said, you know what? Your mom and dad, sometimes, you know, mothers and fathers make decisions, but you got to have somebody you can come to and just tell your truth to. And I'm that person for you guys. And
okay.
whatever you tell me, stay with me. And they always had that. And, of course, when they were small, they'd want me to, you know, spank the mama because they figured, you know, her mama, so she could spank her, she could spank her. But they need to have an ally knowing that, what, I've got somewhere to go.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And if you create that kind of environment for them and just have an honest conversation, look, I understand. Maybe it's not right at home. Tell me what's going
right.
on.
Okay.
And once they have somebody they can talk to, it releases mm-hmm. that anger. Because
okay.
I don't have any superpowers. It's a common
yeah.
denominator. You know, just say, God, show me what to say. What can I do? Hug them,
okay.
pray over them, and just say, you know what? I'm here, and whatever you tell me stays here.
Okay.
You won't see a difference in them. You will see a difference. And you keep
okay.
doing that for a couple of weeks and see how they change.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you. And call
God
me.
God bless you and your ministry. Yes.
Thank you. Email me at DrBessie1, and then I'll give you my phone number, and then I'll see if I can help. I don't know if you're local to me. I can't tell where you're calling from. I don't know the.
From Jersey, New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. I didn't know the first numbers there. Okay. Well, I can come to New Jersey, but email me at DrBessie1@gmail.com.
Okay.
And then I can give you my number, and then I can give you some more details. And we can get in
okay.
a little more personal.
Dr.
All right.
Beth,
God bless you.
One,
yes,
O-N-E or just the number one?
The number one is DrBessie, the number one, at gmail.com.
BSS, number one, .com?
Dot com, gmail.com.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. God bless you.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Bye-bye. Wow, that was a good question. I really thank you for that because not only she's not talking about her children, she's talking about the children God has assigned to her at school. Thank you for calling us. Wow, what a mother. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am doing fine. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. A very, very good question. How do you reverse this? Let me tell you something. And it just took me back to when I was five. When you told the story about the little girl and the story I just heard from the mother, from the teacher. Let me tell you something. Like you said, it's no big deal to the parents when they're asking the food. But when little ones are involved, they plant the seed. I remember when I was 5 years old, and this thing goes back to, and I'm 52 right now. I remember when I was five, and I had thought that my aunt was my mother for, I was taken, you know the story, I was taken from my mom when I was 18 months old. And so I had thought my aunt was my mother all this time. Now I'm five. I'm behind the door in Georgia, and I overhear my aunt telling someone I thought she was my mother. Immediately, the anger kicked in. My aunt had just given birth to her only daughter. I proceeded to go in the bedroom on the bed where the child was, pick the child up to put her in the fire. You see how quick a child, the seed can be planted of anger in a child?
Mm-hmm.
And I could have been angry longer than that. Exactly. And it could have been, I could have been angry prior to that, but that was the catalyst or that was the thing that pushed me over the edge. You just don't know where a person is. I don't care how young they are. You don't, and then separating those baby boys is probably what's facilitating that anger.
Yeah.
And so when we as adults plant these seeds in our babies, this is what we have to deal with. And how do you reverse it? You got to go back and get those pieces to understand why these babies are angry in the first place, like you said. Because it could be just that one little simple thing. That child can just want to see their father, and mother's being so freaking stubborn that they don't want they don't want anything to do with the father, but it ain't about you. When people get past themselves, they're going to realize what they're doing to these babies. Because it's not about us at that point. When you see children at that age being angry, come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now. And I'm sitting here, Dr. Fletcher, and this is what came to me. A good brother and a daughter relationship is like flowers that never fade. And a bad one is like a harassing confines of a living death, a spiritual death. Unfortunately, and too often, it is the reality of shattered dreams, of a hope of what she dreams the relationship to be. Both wishing that the relationship could be something that they see. And because it's not there, that's where that anger comes in. Because we all have preconceived information based on what we see of what a relationship should be. And when you don't have it, you are angry. Because why did she have a mama who care about her? Why can't my mother care about me? Why, and the same for boys.
Mm-hmm.
He loves her. He likes her more than he likes me. You know, we as adults, as mothers, we plant the seed. And when a mother's in an abusive relationship, she is still planting that seed.
Right, right. Thank you. That is so
Thank
right.
Thank you for
I'm
allowing
you
to share.
Oh, you're welcome, honey. That was right on it because, you know, and then you gave your personal testimony, you know, just how quick. I mean, you could have put that baby in the fire. They would have locked you up in juvenile, you know, only because, and no one, and you could have kept your mouth closed, and no one would have never known until you opened your mouth to tell the story why. Why? Because I thought she was my mother, and now I don't have you to hold on to. That was my one little thing I could hold on to. And then you got a baby to replace what I thought was my space, my place. Anger, boom. And that's what happened to a lot of young children. And when I'm speaking to clients, I have some clients that come in there. I could tell you 95% of the clients that I deal with, the anger comes from a period in time when they were between 5 and 12 years old, somewhere along
you
in there where they can remember in place between 5, and usually it's between 5 and 8. Something happened, and when it happened, everything else is based on that. And that's the way they judge their mom, the people that they're dealing with from that point on. And the young girls, when I was in the school, I'm going to say this and I'll get to my next caller. The young girls, when I was in school doing counseling, teenagers, angry, fighting. I'm like, why are you so angry? What are you? She makes me sick. Always talk about her mama. Her and her mama this. And then her mother's in jail, or her mother don't care about her, or her mother's out running the street. And then the mother's wondering, well, what's wrong with her? As is the mother, so is her daughter. So you are setting the tone, the energy, you know, the attitude, and then you looking back and saying, what's wrong with her? If you look in the mirror, you'll see your reflection. Huh. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today, Janice?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm great. We're talking about why did God create a mother and a daughter?
God has a purpose for everything. But like you always said, the women are nurturers, and we women, you know, I'll never forget what this pastor said one time. He said, women possess the wisdom. And when you read Proverbs a lot, wisdom is always used in the female form. Doesn't mean men doesn't have wisdom, but women have the wisdom. And I feel God created the mothers to continue the wisdom in their daughters to as a legacy. You know, we can take, as women, we can take $10 and feed a family of four, and we have some leftovers, but a man, he doesn't know how to stretch. He doesn't look ahead. He doesn't think. A lot of men, I don't want to put everybody in one category, but I feel like God has us here as mothers and daughters, women, to nurture those daughters, to teach them, so they can continue the legacy of familyhood. You know, that woman is there to be that strength for the man, to walk by his side, to encourage him, like I said, we're nurturers. So that's one way I look at it. And then I want to also say something else quickly, comment on when you said that children, our daughters, or children need an outlet. And I've always told my children that, and that is so true. If your child is not comfortable coming to you as mothers, as parents, don't feel insulted or jealous or intimidated if your child chooses to speak to someone else. Be thankful and just thank God that there's someone that your child can speak to. It doesn't make you less of a parent, but it just means that some things your child may not be able to speak with you about out of embarrassment, or may not feel that you would understand. So I that's a good point that you made, and I just really wanted to comment on that, because a lot of times we feel that if our kids don't come to us, they shouldn't go to anybody, and that's not true. My kids, I tell them, if you can't confide in me in something, find someone that you can confide in and feel comfortable with, instead of carrying that load on yourself.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, that is good advice. That is so true. And it doesn't make you less of a parent. You know, it just means that what? A person, and hopefully they'll find someone with good counsel, you know, that will lead and guide them in a godly manner.
Right.
But it's better than, you know, just sitting around and talking to some teenagers that, you know, that don't know no more than you know. At least
right.
You got someone to go to, and not just, because a lot of times suicidal thoughts come from just the reoccurring thoughts in your head going round and round and round until you just feel like, I just can't take this no more. I don't know how to stop this conversation. I don't know what to do with this. Then it says, you know, I just need to check out. But
mm-hmm.
if you have someone else to talk to, that will slow those thoughts down and create a different environment. And that's why I say counseling, you don't have to be a PhD to do therapy or counseling. All you got to do is have what God has said, wisdom. Ask God for wisdom, yes, and he'll tell you exactly what to say to whomever he sent to you. Because a person came to you, you know, 9 times out of 10, they were led to you from God. So he's looking for us to all be mothers to every daughter that come our way. You know, so it's just not our children that we're mothering. We're mothering, you know, all children. It's like the teacher that just called in this morning. Those are not her children, but she's mothering them, and we all have a responsibility as women. And that brings us to the answer. Why did God create mothers and daughters? Because we are nurturers. I'm going to go ahead and click you off. Thank you, Janice, for your comment.
Thank you.
Okay. Mothers, why did God create mothers and daughters? Because we are nurturers. He knows that we are the one that will stop and will feel in our belly. We can feel in our belly. A mother can be at home and her son or her daughter is out and something happens. It's just something that comes up in your belly that just, you know something's wrong. You know it. You may not know what it is, but it'll come up in your spirit. Well, that same thing is in your daughter. When she has her family, it's an innate kind of feeling. It's like a deer, you know, drinking water, and you can come up 100 feet away, and he'll turn his head and look. You know, it's just something that we're built to handle. So that's why he created mothers and daughters, to recreate, to be fruitful and multiply his kingdom. But not only just to bring a child into the world and say, you know, hey, go for it. Learn what you need to learn. I'm through. I done had you, so that's my job. I'm done. No. Mothering really doesn't start until that child leaves that home. When your child go to college. My daughter and I was talking this past week. She says, Mama, she said, well, I didn't know what mothering was about. I said, now you know. It's not until when you left home, it's when my mothering kicked in. When you got somebody in your house, and when they're under 18, and they feel like they have to do what you say, yes, it can be a little rough, but that's easy mothering. But when your child walks out of that door and go into the world, and you don't know where they are at 2 o'clock in the morning when you wake up, Lord, where's my child? That's real mothering there. Because you got to love them and mother them afar. Think about that. So as you are mother, so is your daughter. So to lessen your worry, put the right thing in her. That she'll always check in with you. She'll always call you. She'll always feel like you are her ally. I can call my mother. And that's where the peace is. Have a blessed week. God bless you. And hold on 1 second.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, that's our show for this week. Tell your friends to join us next week. Text it, email, Facebook, and we'll have a great conversation continuing next Saturday at 10. Bye-bye.